Assalamu alaikum, ladies. Alhamdulillah, I finally did it. I actually wrote a book. It's dedicated to all the single Muslim mothers out there, hence the name How to Be a Single Muslim Mum. Inshallah, it's available as an ebook, paperback, and it will be available as an audio. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum, sisters, for the support. Check out the link in the description to get yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of season 4 of the Naqabi Diaries. Alhamdulillah, we have with us a sister here. She's going to share with us her story of how she came to wear the niqab. Sister, could you please introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First off, it's a great pleasure to be here. Alhamdulillah. My name is Sharifa and I am a Nigerian mom of two. And I teach women and children, specifically age 10 and above, how to perfect their recitation of the Quran and learn how to connect better with the Quran.
Mashallah, mashallah, Allah Mubarak, sister. You're doing really amazing work. You just reminded me, there's a really nice channel on YouTube. I think it's called Basmad. And a brother, he goes around and he... shows how like the Nigerian community have many mashallah hufad there, and they recite Quran really beautifully, Allah Mubarak. So it's really nice to hear that you're also doing you know, the same thing, following along those lines, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, sister, could you just tell us a little bit about your Islamic background and you know, how you came to be wearing the niqab, inshallah?
So I came from a nominal Muslim home. So growing up as a child, my parents didn't really uphold the religion that strongly at the time. And so we were just more or less like Muslims by name. And then the slight difference was that my dad really did not joke with modest dressing. He believed that as a lady, you have to cover up your body. So alhamdulillah, despite not having that Islamic knowledge, we were not dressing that bad, or we're not wearing the jilbab. I do wear the hijab, which was top maybe around my knee or below my knee a bit. So I never really wore the one that covers me from head to toe. And niqab was not even a talk. So we look at people that wear, I personally look at people that wear the niqab, subhanAllah, as religious extremists. You know, I'm like, why are you covering up? Can you see? But at the time, I was still a little girl. I was still under the age of 10. And so my first encounter with someone that was a niqabi was when I changed madrasa. At the time, I was around 11 to 12 years old. And so I changed my madrasa from my community, my neighborhood rather, and I went far a bit. And that was the first time I was actually opportunity to listen to like Quran being recited beautifully. I mean, you see children who are hufaz, and everything was just like intriguing. It was a new experience, because where I came from, we read the Quran, alhamdulillah, but then not with the tajweed. And that was where like I finished the recitation of the whole Quran without a tajweed, just normal recitation. So it was my ustaz wife that was a niqabi, and she was the first person I came close to as a niqabi. When I saw her, in fact, my first few days going to the madrasa, I really, when the girls are like, they want to go and greet their ustaza, I would not follow them. I do stay behind. And so, but along the line, she do come aside and then we interact, and then I feel that kind of connection and peace. Not like when people made you believe that people that wear the niqab are bad, they kind of criticize people that do not wear it, but she was very welcoming. And along the line, I started interacting well with her, the children, the family. I became like known around the area. Although I stopped going, and then I came back 6 years later, and subhanAllah, at the time, the space I was going to school, and then my school, my high school was very far from home, and so when I would get home, it's already evening time, so I could no longer step out to go to the madrasa again. And so the 6 years I spent in high school, I didn't go. And when I came back, I felt like I was ready at the time because I really loved everything about the jilbab. I started wearing the jilbab, and then shortly after, I started wearing on and off niqab. When I go out for Islamic events, I kind of wear the niqab, and then I can still go out other times without the niqab. But like when I got married in 2019, that was when I started wearing the niqab fully. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, mashallah, Allahumma barik, sister. So I just want to go back a little bit. So you mentioned that growing up, your father, mashallah, he was very, you know, consistent on how, you know, women should dress and making sure that, you know, you dress modestly, even, you know, as a Muslim woman, even though you said that, you know, your family wasn't so strict when it came to, like, you know, Islamic practices in general, but they made sure that you, you know, dressed correctly and everything, you know, being chaste and modest. So when you started to wear the jilbab itself, was that something that was easily accepted by your family as well because of, you know, the principles that they was already upholding? Was that okay for them, or did they see it as something maybe a little bit too much? Was it something that they was accustomed to seeing the jilbab at all?
Sister, at the time that I started to wear the hijab and wear the niqab, my mom was already a divorcee. So like at that time, my mom was really not having much issues with me wearing the jilbab. But then when I started wearing the niqab, I started, most times I do, like maybe when I'm going for the event, I'll kind of like put the niqab inside my bag, and then when I'm close, I'll wear it, and then before I get home, I'll pull it off because people were really criticizing it in the community. So they kind of see Malam's who's wife wear the niqabas. They're oppressing women, they're keeping women inside the house, and their wives are not able to go out and mingle with people. People cannot see their wives, so they feel like women who wear the niqaba are oppressed, and then when you wear the niqab, you will not easily see a husband to marry. So when I wore the niqab, when my mom became aware that I started wearing the niqab, she was actually, I kind of tried to convince her, and I did, alhamdulillah. But then the people around, you know, the neighborhood, the people around us, because we're living in an extended family house, her brothers, steps, and the likes, they're like, your daughter is wearing this, you're lying, your daughter to wear this, she's not even married yet, she's doing that. And then sometimes she just get this, maybe when they get too much into her head, then she kind of like try to talk me out of it. And then I told her that there's no problem. I believe that niqab cannot be a barrier to my getting married. So once Allah say it's time for me to get married, inshallah, I'll get married. Not because I am wearing the niqab. Then I started like talk to her. How many people, even among the people that are closest to you, are already beyond the age that we say is the marriage age, and then they're not yet married, mm-hmm. and we don't even know when they are going to get married, and these people don't even wear the hijab at all. Just mm-hmm. dress however exactly. they want to dress. We have a lot of them around us too. And then we have young girls who are getting married as well, even without the hijab. So the most important thing is for us to know that all these things are outside of our control, and we should not try to take control of what is out of our reach. Because getting mm-hmm. married is, as much as we wish to get married and we wish to go far in life, we really cannot control what the outcome is going to be.
Exactly, subhanAllah. So where did you get your first niqab from?
The first time I wore the niqab, subhanAllah, it was veil I used actually. There's a way I do tie, like I will hold veil and then I'll fold it into two, and then I'll like raise one end slightly above to just create that space for the eye to show up, and then I'll tie it on my face, and then I'll like flip it up, and that was how I started wearing.
Wow, subhanAllah. Would you still having lessons at the madrasa with your teacher that inspired you to wear it?
Yeah, I was still having lessons with her. So before I came back from the madrasa, actually, my ustaz married another wife. And so he was also a niqabi. All his wives are niqabis, actually. So I
Mm-hmm.
was more or less like a family friend to his wives, and so I do go there all the time. Even right now, if I travel back home, I do go and see them.
Okay, mashallah. Right, so when you obviously you live in Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So I wanted to ask about the practicality of wearing the niqab, because obviously, like us living in hotter countries, and I know obviously women in Saudi Arabia do wear and stuff like that, but coming from Africa as well, the climate is slightly different. Maybe you've got a lot of humidity and stuff like that, and people will ask, well, how can you wear something like that covering your face? It's so hot. What would you say to people? How was it your first experiences wearing the niqab? Because obviously, like, it is hotter and it's something different that you wasn't accustomed to growing up. So when you first started wearing it, did you find any difficulty?
When I first came back and I made the decision to be very conscious about my religion, I started off with the jilbab actually, and it was even during the hot weather, and it was really strange experience. But at this point, it wasn't coming from a place of necessity or whatever. It was a decision that I made myself that this is who I want to become. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to be like in my relationship with Allah or in my religion. So I bear the discomfort like that. When the weather is hot and then you have to wear socks, you have to wear the jilbab from head to toe, because I see people outside of Nigeria, most times they wear abaya and then they wear a short hijab. Or like where I come from, the way the Muslim woman dresses, that they wear the jilbab from head to toe, and it's like that's a signature way to dress. And so it was hot, but alhamdulillah, I was able to bear it. So when I started wearing the niqab, of course, when the weather is hot, you feel it. And sometimes you're able to go through it. Sometimes if you can, then when you get home, you just try to like pull everything and then have that fresh air, go take a shower. Alhamdulillah. And another way that I do it was to try as much as possible not to go out when the weather is too hot. So like if it's hot weather, then if I have anything to do outside, I would like to do it at the early part of the morning and then come back home before the sun is high.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's a good tip as well. I've definitely tried to do that as well myself here, alhamdulillah. So would you say in that respect that wearing the niqab now, when like wearing the full hijab, does it like help you to kind of plan yourself or be more organized in your life? Like, how has it helped you in that way?
I'm not someone that's very organized, something that I struggle with. But wearing the niqab, especially when it comes to going out or going on a journey, I tend to be more organized because I know that I'm wearing a niqab. And then I know that if it's the hot weather, then I know that the weather might be hot. And then I have to plan ahead of time. So if it's somewhere that I can just go and come back the same day, then I have to like write out my to-do list for the next day and just kind of switch up tasks to see that very early in the morning I'm able to like step out of the house and then get back in. Then I can start doing what I normally do inside of the house. But if I'm going on a journey, and maybe it's a journey that I'm going to spend some time there, so I do pack my bag and then factor in that the weather is hot wherever I'm going, and I have to prepare. If it's cold weather, the weather is hot, I have to pick up my thick hijabs like that. The weather is hot, I have to wear hijabs that are lighter, that the quality is lighter, not the color. That I'll be free and be able to like get a little bit of fresh air inside of it.
Alhamdulillah, definitely. Yeah, that's why I thought it was important to ask that, because obviously people have these kind of questions, and sometimes I think maybe we don't think about them. But obviously, like, when you do start wearing the niqab in a community where most people are not wearing it, or they're not accustomed to even seeing it, these are the kind of things that kind of people have it in their minds. They feel that it's restrictive, so it's going to stop you from doing certain things, and maybe that they see that your life has changed, like the way that you're operating, the way that you carry yourself when you go out. And maybe if you was going out a lot before, maybe you stopped going out as much or something like that.
you know, because they're seeing that the niqab itself is a barrier to you being able to live your life freely. So, you know, would you say that you feel that niqab is a barrier? And if so, in which sense?
First of all, I'll talk about going out with a niqab again. Like, for me, what I still do again is I still consider what I wear inside of the niqab. I'm actually quite very slim. So I do most of the time wear things that are very large. And depending on the weather, sometimes I wear like clothes inside. But then I make sure that at the end of the day, whatever I'm wearing inside, you cannot detect. And try to keep the dressing as concealing as possible. And so, like, in terms of if the niqab has made me feel oppressed or changed my life in some way, at first, I would say, yeah, I do feel like that. Because when I got married, and that was the time that I became a full niqab is before, anytime I have anything to do outside and I really like going out to, like, examination in school, going out to the cafe or going out to places, going out to banks, you know, you don't have to, I don't wear it. But I know that I wear it mostly when I'm going to a place that I have no problem wearing it. But when I got married, first of all, I moved from my state to another state, and where I am now is a Christian-dominated state. So it's where people see women as extremists. They see in the obvious as terrorists. So it's where they see Muslim women as oppressed. So you barely can go out to do things, you know. You barely can go out to do things. Just sometimes walking on the street and then you have some people. It's where nakedness is the life. So, and I do want you say you're free to naked and then I'm not free to cover them. Like, okay, what is the problem? Yes. Just make it make sense. You wear, you dress however you want to dress, and people not really shame people that are grandmas. They just go out looking so naked and there's no problem. No one talks to you, but then another person decides to cover, and then the person all of a sudden becomes your own problem. Like, you've got a lot of time on your hand and then you want to bully someone else.
Yes, of course.
SubhanAllah. At first, I feel really oppressed. I feel like I cannot really do anything. And to be honest, it's the reality here. Muslim women cannot really go outside to work because you not even be employed. Even people that are wearing the hijab are finding it difficult. Muslim women are just doing business or teaching in one Islamic school that's here. That's where most of them are teaching, then the rest are just stay at home, do online business, or you just find a store like that and start doing business. You cannot work in the sector here. Even Muslim men are finding it difficult because of their beards and then their trousers. Yes. Not really funny. At first, all those experiences was kind of shocking to me, and it makes me feel like I'm oppressed, like I'm not really going to do anything in life again because I choose to be in a qawwa, alhamdulillah. I never think of removing it. But right now, I'm in a place where I don't really care what you think about me and my niqab, because the most important thing is why I'm wearing it. Why I'm wearing it. That's very important. That's very important to me, because now that I have much clarity on why I am wearing it, and it's a self-made decision, not like I was forced to be or any kind of thing, I feel more confident. And if I want to go outside, I can go anywhere I want to go. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So have you ever faced any kind of abuse for wearing the niqab then?
Yeah. The first one was I was like working outside the compound of a shop, right? And then there's this girl, she was like dressing, you know, it's a shop, right? And then people just dress shabbily and they just kind of, you know, that's high life for them. And then she saw me and she was like, am I seen? She was in a group of some male friends and female friends together. They were going to the shop, right? Well, I mean, I was just walking freely inside the compound. And she was like, am I seen? And I'm like, no, I'm not seen. You brought me out from my house. And she kept short and just walked away. Another time was some group of boys in the same compound, the same shop, right compound. They just saw me and then they started shouting like, Police, look at her, she's a terrorist. SubhanAllah, I just walk. When I got close to them, I just told them, okay, the police did not recognize me as a terrorist. Now that you do, what do you want to do with them? Do you want to arrest me? And they were shocked. Actually, I do it not love people. Sometimes you just go out and then you have people look at you because it's actually worse than the surrounding. Even people that are wearing hijab, they really find it difficult. There was a time I entered a transport and the man was like, because I am wearing the niqab, that's why no one else wants to just enter the taxi with me.
SubhanAllah.
And there was another person in there and he was like, but he entered and he's not feeling like I'm a terrorist or whatever, I'm going to hurt him. And the driver said, is because he doesn't fear for his life. And I'm like, okay, this is it. But alhamdulillah, it's not unbearable knowing that your reward is Allah, is from Allah, is enough to keep you going, regardless of what people think of you, think of me, my hijab, my niqab. They can't pull me down anymore. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, have you done any traveling outside of the country at all with the niqab?
No, I have not traveled outside of the country.
Okay, so you mentioned that sometimes you do go back home. So is that like is your hometown like a different city from where you're living now?
Yeah, it's a different state entirely. And it's like a whole new journey.
Right. So what's the traveling experience like then when you're wearing the niqab? Do you have any issues apart from you're planning to, you know, you have to do your planning and everything, but you know, is there any kind of issues when you're traveling? Because obviously it's a long way that you go. Do you have any problems with you know, when encountering other people in your journeys and stuff like that going across states? I don't know what the rules are like in Nigeria for traveling from state to state. Do you have like, is there any kind of, I don't know, checkpoints or anything like that where you have to show ID or anything that people have to see before you can enter a different state?
No, alhamdulillah, Nigeria is not like that. So you can just go for the board and then you can go. But most times we do have problem when, you know, when you just happen to be in the same bus with the Gen Zs that they see themselves as they are the most literate kind of people, and they see themselves like they're high class, and then they try to make it look like, hey, what am I doing with this kind of person? You know, they kind of give off some attitudes, but that really goes a lot to show who they are in person. Because this person, you don't even know them from Adam. You don't know anything about them. You just happen to be in a taxi with them. I've entered cars and I really met people who are not dressed like me, Christians like that. And they were really welcoming. And we just even talk and chat like we're friends. And then sometimes you get to people and they keep looking at you like you're a strange being among them. But the most important thing is that, alhamdulillah, you are not paying the transport for me. Alhamdulillah. So like everyone just have their seat and you stay on your seat, and I've been able to manage through. Sometimes it get really bad, like the last time I went home, the car that I entered, like for the whole day the driver was like playing music. I was strongly having headaches. We experienced things like this. That's why mostly I do travel with a copy of the Quran, and then I busy myself with reading the Quran. If I don't find any of the Muslims in the car that I can communicate with, then I just busy myself with the Quran. Why other times we just have to like be and just be patient.
Yeah, SubhanAllah, I was just thinking about the sisters who wear the hijab. Like, so since you started wearing the niqab, have you noticed there's a difference between how sisters who wear the niqab get treated compared to sisters who wear the hijab? And by hijab, I mean they're not wearing the niqab at all.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the treatment depends on where, because there are some people that are comfortable with people wearing hijab because they believe that if I have to communicate and be friendly with someone, I have to see their face. You know, when they see that face, they feel that trust. And those kind of people, when they meet other women that are niqabis, they feel like, I cannot have anything to do with this one because they look so strange. I cannot even see any part of their body. Mm. Or maybe I can just see the eye. Because there are also people that wear the niqab and they just cover everything, like everything, that they don't show out their eyes. And people like that treat them differently. But then people that are more literate enough to understand that the person that's just the niqab is addressing and it's how they choose to dress, so I have to respect them, that treat niqab is fine. So it depends on the person and the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a niqab, there are places that you really would not even want to go to. Like when someone who is a nominal Muslim or who is a Christian have an event, for example, and they're inviting you and you are going to the event, you know you're going to look different. You know, you might not even see someone wearing the hijab or wearing the niqab in that kind of event. You might even get to see things, harams going on. So like, if you want to compromise and go to that kind of place, maybe because you don't want the person to be hurt, you should also expect that people might really treat you differently.
Yes, subhanAllah.
There are sisters that comes from Christian families.
Yes.
Maybe they are the only river in the family and they really cannot just abandon their family because they are not Muslims. Like when the family have any function and then you have to attend and then you're going to look different. Sometimes you have family members who will bully you and then you have some family members who will stand up for you. Sometimes you are even alone.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. So have you met any sisters who want to wear the niqab but they're not allowed to wear it?
Yeah, when I was in school and at that time, I've seen people that are really interested in wearing, but because of the family, like I have a friend like that, because of the family that they come from, they really cannot try. You know, when you come from the strict family and they just say, they are being mercy upon you to wear the hijab or wear the jilbab, they are not really into, you know, you come from a family where they hold a strong believe that Muslim women who wear the niqab are oppressed and then they want you to be a successful person. So they feel like wearing the niqab will hold you back. So I've met quite a few people like that. They want to wear it, but they know that they cannot try it because maybe their dad is just going to kill them. You know, they just have this fear because of how repulsive the family is towards people that wear the niqab. So there are some people that will not even allow their children to come close to their friends that wears the niqab because they feel like they can, like, get them to start liking it again. Like, I have a friend told me when I started wearing the jilbab that the day I start covering my face, like, the day I start wearing the niqab, that's the day that the friendship will cut. She said, at that time, she didn't actually know that I do wear the niqab, but she has not seen me with it. So she said, now that I have started wearing the hijab and I'm dressing like this, the day I start wearing the niqab is the day that the relationship is going to cut.
Wow, subhanAllah.
You know, when you don't grow up with that strong Islamic background, you know, you make friends. You make just any type of friends. You make just nominal Muslim friends. You make Christian friends. You really do not have problem because you're living like a free life. You're not adhering to all the rulings of Islam. So you feel like that's freedom. But you know, when you're switching from that position and then you're going to become a more conscious Muslimah, really, it's not all the time you have those friends respect your decision. Sometimes you get that you just become all alone, just like that. You have no friends anymore, you have nothing. You now have to go and build a new cycle of friend in on this new path that you're taking.
SubhanAllah. So are you saying that since wearing the niqab, have you made new friends basically then?
Yeah, I think all the people that I have as friends when I wasn't wearing the niqab, I think it's just one person that we're still in connection.
Wow, subhanAllah.
So like I have to make a new friend. Alhamdulillah. So you know, with the switch and the change, you have to like go to Muslim gatherings, be among the network of Muslim women, so you make new friends who are more conscious of Allah, have the same goals as you, have some things in common with the new journey you're trying to take. You have some that can mentor you too. I have to like go for that new set of friends and close ones after I made the switch.
Yes, subhanAllah. So speaking on obviously friendship and being able to meet people and stuff like that, you mentioned earlier on in the interview that, you know, there was concern that you wouldn't be able to find a husband because of wearing the niqab, and obviously we know that's not the case, but how did you end up getting married? Like, how did it work for you? Because obviously for some people who are listening, they might feel that, you know, they don't have a chance, you know, just like people tell them, they don't have a chance to find a spouse because they're wearing the niqab. So, you know, how did you manage to get married?
So alhamdulillah, I really got married very early. I got married at 19.
Alhamdulillah.
So I was in school and the marriage was actually a matchmake marriage. So it was one of the malams from my madrasa who went to school together at the time. He was the one that matchmake me with his friends from another state. But like talking about people, really, I think it's the belief. Over the years, I have learned to like live my life one step at a time and really not have to worry about things that I cannot control. We have people marry early, they marry wrong, marry late, they marry wrong, marry right. People really have a lot of concerns when it comes to choosing a spouse and getting married. But really, I believe that when you have your trust in Allah and you're patient with Him and you really know what you're doing, like you're really connected with Allah, you worry less about things like that because He's the one that blessed these things. Like when it's time for you to get married, you will get married because a lot of people will really use that scarcity mindset, like if I don't get married at this age, you know, if I don't get married, you just have your life planned out and you really are not in control of the life. You are not going to live the life that you plan. You're going to live the life that Allah has destined for you. It's just like when you go to the university, you know, you want to graduate at this age, you want to do this, but the time you're going to graduate from the school is really known to Allah. So we really want to like plan our life. Of course, that does not mean that we don't do anything, we just sit behind, but it means that you have tied your camel and then you put your trust in Allah. So you ask Allah for what you want, you put in the right action, and then you're contented with whatever the outcome is. Because I really do not buy to the idea of people just getting married just like that because they really feel like they cannot see someone better, or people just getting married even when they are not ready for marriage because they feel like when they are ready, they might not see someone to get married.
Yeah, subhanAllah, that's it, isn't it? You have to take it. It's like taking the opportunities when you have them, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, the most important thing about getting married is, you know, like when you see someone, you have to like perform your istikhara and do all the necessary processes, you know, the verification and a lot of things that goes in, you have to do it. Like, of course, there are sometimes we don't like things that are good for us. We like things that are not good for us. Allah has already told us that. But, you know, when you submit your affair into the hands of Allah, you don't really worry much about anything. If you do your best, whatever the outcome is, it might be the test that Allah has destined for you in this dunya. So I really do not worrying too much about whether the niqab is going to make you get married early, it doesn't change anything. The time that Allah has written for you to get married, you're going to get married at that time. We've had people switch from niqab to just not even wearing the veil at all, and then they still don't get married because they feel like they are already going above the age of marriage and no one is coming for them. It's because of the hijab, it's because of the niqab, and then they stop wearing them, and then still no one comes.
SubhanAllah. And that's so, that's sad, to be honest. I suppose it's part of having tawakkul in Allah, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It is, SubhanAllah, it is. You know, people are really going through a lot of things. Sometimes we are just placed with, maybe we just tested, and then you just feel like, no, this is not, why me, Ya Allah? I was dutiful to you, Ya Allah. I was worshipping you sincerely, Ya Allah. Why do I have to pass through this and a lot of things? It's about trusting Allah and knowing that there is light for you at the end of the tunnel. You know, trusting Allah that, yes, and believing that Allah is there for you. It's actually watching out for you. Sometimes some doors are closed and only for a bigger one to be open. But at that point where you're passing through situations like that, for you to hold on and know that Allah is there for you and is actually doing this to you for a reason is really important. And sometimes what I do personally is when I'm in a situation that I cannot control, I have to like flip it and look at the positive side. What if this is not good for me? What if I do this? And then what if I marry, you know, something as simple as like, what if I marry early and then I have to like do this? I have to pass through this. I have to do that. But the most important thing is that you are sincere in your worship and your trust in Allah. And then wallahi, you know, be disappointed.
Absolutely. SubhanAllah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your teaching that you're doing of the Quran and helping people to perfect their tajweed. So how did you get into doing that?
So basically I do one-to-one mentoring mostly for the past 7+ years. I've actually been doing that behind the scenes. Quran is like more or less like a legacy for my family. My husband owns a Quran school, and so I have been teaching one-on-one in class. But right now, I'm just starting out to like try to expand and reach out to people from different areas in the world and teach the Quran. So the way I'm doing it is you sign up for one-to-one Quran mentoring with me. If you want to learn the Quran from the beginning, like you have zero knowledge of how to read the Quran, for example, you are a revert or you've never really had the opportunity to learn the Quran before, we can start from the basics like that. So that's why I make it one-to-one, because sometimes we are on different stages in our learning of the Quran. And if you want to memorize the Quran as well, you can also do that with me one-to-one, or you want a child, your daughter, to master how to read the Quran and your connection with the Quran. We do that. At the moment, that is all I do. But then down the year, inshallah, I'm planning on doing maybe a group learning program and create some courses around it. But I'm still at the beginning stage and inshallah. I really want to just keep it one-to-one, inshallah.
May Allah grant you tawfiq.
I mean,
alhamdulillah, Allah Mubarak, this sounds amazing. So are you hafidha as well?
Naam.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, mashallah, tabarakallah, it's fantastic. Alhamdulillah. So yeah, may Allah grant you tawfiq and you know, put a lot of blessings and barakah in what you're doing, inshallah.
Ameen.
So I want to ask you, what kind of advice would you give to sisters who are contemplating wearing the niqab, but maybe they're, you know, facing some worries or doubts or concerns from others? So it's affecting their confidence to be able to wear it.
So what I would say to them is, first of all, why do you want to wear the niqab? Because I view it just like every act of worship. What is your intention behind it? Why exactly are you wearing it? Because that goes a long way to give you the clarity and what you're expecting or this kind of switch that you want to make. We've seen cases where people wear it because of some certain things, and when they don't get it, they feel demotivated and they stop wearing it. Sometimes they even go back to the period of Jahiliyyah in their life. So why are you wearing it? If you're doing it for the sake of Allah, then you have to pick up the courage and do it. The journey might not be easy for you, but the fact that you're doing it for the sake of Allah, your reward is with Allah. You're not doing it to please any humans. you can be tested through it. You don't know what's COVID, and sometimes wearing the niqab might even be a blessing as well. But if you're doing it for the sake of Allah, then sister, go ahead and do it. Your reward is with Allah. And of course, you might get like with it, you might, people might not like you, family might criticize you. But the ultimate thing is you are pleasing Allah. What you're doing, your intention is to please Allah. So instead of pleasing people and being worried about what people would say if I do this, what, how am I going to be treated? I'm going to lose a lot of opportunity. I might not be able to work. I might not be able to do this. I might miss out on a lot of things, because these are things that Shaitan put in our head and it makes us feel like, yeah, niqab is really oppressive. And so many other negative words. But would you rather please people than please Allah? So you have to like have that reflection with yourself on why you want to do it. And between pleasing people and this dunya and pleasing Allah, which one is more better for you? And also you have to understand that Allah is actually the ultimate control of everything in this dunya. The work that you're going to do, whatever that is going to happen in this dunya, Allah is aware of it. He knows it. He is the one in control of it. So when you lose something, don't feel like you've lost everything. For me, I believe that you've actually lost everything in this dunya when you lose Allah. Because He is everything.
Exactly.
He gives us everything. It's only when you lose Allah that you lose everything. If you lose everything in the dunya and you still have Allah, wallahi, you are still the winner. A few days ago, I was speaking to my mom and I have to told her, because she was feeling like the trials she's passing through is just too much. And I told her, you see this dunya, the first fight we even have with Shaitan is not even the fight of whether we're going to be successful in this dunya or not. It's the fight of making us to stray from the worship of Allah and doing things that are pleasing to Allah. No matter how much Shaitan is, or no matter how much test you're passing through in this world, if you have not lost your iman in Allah and you still hold on to Allah, then you still have everything. But when you feel tested and then you're weak, you feel like you're powerless, you didn't have everything, you didn't have anything, you've lost everything. And then you become a weak person. Slowly, you start losing that excitement and joy in doing acts of worship or doing things that please to Allah, because you start questioning ways Allah before having to like pass through all these kind of things. That's when you beginning to lose the real thing. As far as we don't try to control things that are outside of our control, we really will not be that disappointed with outcomes. But when we try to control, you do business, you want to control the amount of profit that you make from the business. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't make that profit, you feel like you have failed. It's because you're trying to control the outcome, but the outcome of the profit is actually not determined by you, it's from Allah. And so when you have this kind of belief, you worry less about things of this world, and wallahi, it's enough to keep you going in this dunya. So it's about having that reflection with yourself. Why do you want to wear it? And between, of course, you're going to be tested, but between pleasing people and pleasing Allah, which one is more important to you? And then you can pick up. When you give up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will bless you. We've had people live like being humiliated as because of how they dress naked, because alhamdulillah, we are even getting people that feel like women should cover their body. And then when they come back, they revert back to Islam, or even they're Muslim and they decide to take their deen seriously, they wear the niqab, they feel respected. And the reason why people are even pained about niqab is, to me, is because they are just pained. They cannot see your body. They are just pained. For me, that's how I look at it. Because you know, wearing clothes, alhamdulillah, people, you just decided to expose your body and people can see, no one has problem. Why cover mine and then you are angry? You're pained because you cannot get to like feast on my body. And that alone is to make letting you know that you are a special being.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I've got one last question to ask you, and that is, what does the niqab mean to you?
The niqab means resilience to me.
Resilience, mashallah.
Resilience. Yeah.
MashaAllah. Allahumma barik, sister. Thank you so much for giving your time today. Really appreciate it. And it's been a pleasure being able to, hear from your experiences, especially and being another Nigerian sister. Because I think some people don't realize that, I've spoken to quite a lot of Nigerian sisters now. And I think, obviously, Nigeria is a really big country. And, some sisters, everybody has different experiences in general. But I think because there's different, as you mentioned, the different states and stuff, and there's different places where it's easy for somebody maybe where they live to wear the niqab and it's the norm, and then there's other places where it's completely not the case. So there's so much diversity even in that country itself, and how Muslim women are treated and are able to kind of go out through the society and be able to live their lives. There's a lot of differences in that. So it was always nice to hear another and different perspective, and alhamdulillah you're also teaching the Quran as well, which is it's always a pleasure to hear about that too. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It was a pleasure to speak in your podcast as well.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, sister, have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.